Hello, welcome, welcome, welcome to the 40th edition of the Multimedia Men podcast.
40. What the hell?
40? We have turned 40 in 40 weeks. We're 40 weeks into our relationship.
What do you get for the 40th? Is it, I don't know, plastic, wood?
Blowjobs for everyone.
Whoa. I think it's like a...
No? Was that too... Is that the year anniversary?
Blowjobs too much. Maybe...
What year is
handjobs?
Yeah.
The year anniversary?
Is it like after gold? When the hell is that?
That's the 3 month anniversary.
Oh.
That's the 3 month. Is that right, Susan?
I don't know.
Wait.
Is it different in Persia?
It is.
I'm Brian Kluber. I'm with Gadi Elkan.
What's up?
Andrew Conway.
Hello.
Susan Kamyab.
Hi.
Kamjob!
No?
Is that we're not doing that anymore?
It's done.
Fuck me. And Adam Conway.
Huh? Well, yeah.
So. Yeah, we're here.
Nice hat,
yeah.
Adam, for all those who can't see.
My pastor had a hat like that.
Yeah. Adam got his hair cut.
I stole from a set of
Yeah, he did what he said.
Yeah, I know.
Adam got a haircut. He's wearing a golf hat now. It looks really good.
Is that a golf hat? It's more like an old-timey
I forgot my suspenders.
It's like a newsie hat.
Isn't that
a
golf
hat? Yeah, it's like an old newsie.
Yeah.
Or like a
I'm
train
Christian,
conductor.
I'm Christian Milk
yeah.
Newsies. That's what I was going for.
Oh, good. I'd like to congratulate Andrew. He wrapped his TV show, The Dallas Cowboy Cheerleaders, yesterday. That was the shoot.
It was his show.
You got pictures?
He filmed it.
How are the cheerleaders in real life?
Yeah, tell us more.
They're actually not bad.
Sweet ladies?
Can we look forward to a good season?
Yeah, I think so. They definitely...
they're going to impact the season. So
yeah, this is going to change the ratings for sure. They changed the format this year a little bit. They added Melissa Rycroft, who was a cheerleader a few years ago, and she was on, you know, she was on The Bachelor, and she was also on Dancing with the Stars, and
was
trying to use her sort
a consultant,
of...
consultant?
Yeah, she was a consultant to some of the rookies throughout the season. And, she was doing a lot of publicity for the show in California the last few weeks, so hopefully that's going to help bring the ratings up, and they're doing a lot. Well, you know, they're finally taking advantage of social media, so they're doing a lot of selfie cam and video blog and all this new age stuff.
So, well, when does it debut and what channel?
It debuted 2 weeks ago, Friday. Actually, yeah, two episodes have already aired. It's on CMT, and it's supposed to be a good season. You check it out.
Cool. Are your name going to be on there in the credits?
I'm sure they'll be in there somewhere.
As well as you're the camera guy, camera operator, producer, associate producer?
They probably have me as like an AC or tech supervisor.
Okay, cool.
Escort driver.
Escort driver.
Escort driver.
Well, very, very cool. We have some fun things to talk about this week in our 40th. To start out our 40th podcast on the fly right now. We'll do this really quickly. Superman versus Batman's coming out soon.
Oh, are you serious?
And we all think...
Dawn of Justice.
Have you seen the...
Hold on.
Okay.
Since we all know there probably is going to be a Joker villain soon in the upcoming Batman DC universe...
That excites me.
Who are we going to cast? Who should be the Joker?
I think it's going to be Scoot.
Scoot McNeary?
Who's Scoot McNeary?
Well,
who was he? Hall Catch Fire?
He's from Lake Highlands. He was on
Argo.
Yeah.
The guy with the glasses on Argo?
Oh, okay.
He's in Fallen Cast.
I should consider it immediately. I know exactly who that is.
No. I know which...
Greg's the only
like,
one person with glasses in Argo?
Pretty much.
You're talking about the one of the hostages, right?
Yeah.
Like, or not hostages, but
yeah.
The guy like...
He was a hostage, technically.
Technically. Cool. He was hiding out.
He
in
was
the
hiding.
House.
He's one of those up and coming good actors.
So you think Scoot McNeary?
I don't know. Maybe not.
He's a good actor.
I don't know if I'd see him.
You know who I would love to
Everyone
see?
Everyone wants Adrian Brody.
I think he looks the part because he's tall
Adrian
and lanky.
Brody?
I know.
He looks tall and lanky. I want, what's his name?
He's getting some critical acclaim for Houdini. Coming out.
Yeah, that looks good.
I'm intrigued by it.
But the McFly, the dad of Back to the Future.
Crispin Glover.
That would be
that's
so awesome.
That's you from the 80s wanting that now.
I don't think he would
What are you talking about?
Crispin
Did you see
Glover's
him in Charlie's
like
Angels?
Yes, I know, but it's not...
I would rather see Michael J. Fox as a Joker than Glover.
That's kind of that's sad.
He'd have
that's
the shakes.
I did not want Crispin Glover.
No.
Just go ahead and put Michael Keaton as the Joker then.
Yeah.
That would be
that
a
would
weird
be
turn
I
of
think
events.
It should be somebody who's a little like less.
I would love to see that Beetlejuice yeah. meets Batman.
Scoot McNeary is a great choice, and
I mean, he's already part of the movie, but they aren't saying what role he has.
It's got to be that.
Do you think so?
I'm much more excited for the Joker reveal in Gotham than I am for this stupid-ass movie, by the way.
Gotham looks good.
Well, I know you hate
Gotham
everything
so good.
What about you, Susan?
I don't hate
what do you think?
God, I can't even think of that. I don't know, because nobody thought Heath Ledger was going to be great. And
Michael
then
Fassbender.
He's tall and lanky, too.
Michael Fassbender would probably do an amazing job. But would it be weird since he's like...
He already has that really creepy smile.
He does Magneto. He may not want to do that.
Yeah.
He may even have a contract not to.
Well, what's his name?
Ben Affleck was Daredevil.
Ben Affleck was Daredevil, and Ryan Reynolds was Green Lantern
They're
and Deadpool.
They're trying to, like, forget about Daredevil. That's different.
And he was also in Blade 2.
I don't know. I didn't think about that. Joker.
I think Scoot McNairy is pretty awesome. I think Chris McGlover would be super badass as the
no
Joker.
No one else thinks that.
Why not?
Because we've seen him and he does.
What about Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the Joker?
I think he could do it. I don't know if he'd be my top choice, but I think he could do it.
Would it be too weird that he was in the other Batman movie?
Yeah.
I'd rather have Scoot than Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
All right, so Scoot, is it? That's overall?
What I'm saying with Scoot is already in the movie.
It's not
a probably a different character. It's not right off James Franco yet, guys.
I mean, he could add that to his list.
Dave Franco has the smile, but he's so young. What about, like...
Lex Luthor is Jesse Eisenberg.
That's
so.
True. That's true. I think that's a... I think he'll do the
Michael Cera should do it.
What?
That would be hilarious.
Jonah Hill the Penguin.
What about Adam Driver? Can
you
do the Joker?
Oh,
yeah.
Adam Driver is
awesome.
Such a good Joker. But
yeah.
He's in Star Wars now.
They're saying he's going to be cast as Robin. So.
Can we not talk about Star Wars instead? That's so much cooler looking than freaking...
We'll talk about that
in a little bit. Because there's some Star Wars...
But let's talk about what we found out this week. Robin Williams passed away.
Oh, that downer moment.
Yeah, we gotta talk about it. That's news. We all love Robin. We all know he was depressed and he killed himself. He hung himself. And he tried, I guess, cut his wrist too beforehand.
Yeah.
It was very sad. We were in a movie. What movie was it?
Expendables 3, probably.
No, it was.
You guys
Love
were
is Strange.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And when we got out, we had like 20 text messages.
That was
weird. Everybody was saying
that. I was about to go into Are You Here?
Yeah,
that's right. But you know, his wife came out and said that, you know, people were assuming it was he relapsed and was doing alcohol. He was back on alcohol and it was all that. But she said that it was actually depression, and also he just found out that he had Parkinson's.
Yeah.
For early stage of Parkinson's. And so that did not help his condition.
He was filming Doubtfire too, wasn't he?
He had four projects coming out still, and they're all done.
Yeah, he has. There's a couple coming out during Christmas,
including Night at the Museum 3.
Yeah,
a Merry Freaking Christmas.
Merry Freaking Christmas.
All Robin Williams films
awesome.
Are going to do so well in the next, like whatever he's finished.
I think on iTunes, the number one movie was Miss Doubtfire. That was people.
Netflix had like all his movies.
Well, he has
Yeah.
Has Philip Seymour Hoffman's movies been doing well? Like he's had a few.
Most Wanted Man actually is like one of the higher rated new ones. So.
And he's got a good one. He's got this. What is it called? It's The Angriest Man in Brooklyn coming out.
Yeah,
and he's in both Hunger Games.
Better than Merry Freaking Christmas.
It's back to Robin Williams.
It's got a Tyrion Lannister in it.
That one looks so bad. I saw the trailer for that and I was it doesn't look very good.
He's also on Boulevard.
So do you think after this, do you think people will start taking depression seriously in the
media?
It's a big name. No. Honestly, I don't think so, because I think people, every time that a celebrity dies or a depression, they're all, it's the same reaction. What do they have to be sad about?
Yeah. Well, Rush Limbaugh and Shelton, whatever the fool is on Fox News.
Chaim Witts.
Yeah, they all kind of bashed Robin for this, and it was kind of, that was such a weird feeling, people bashing him, and like, his daughter having the Twitter thing where she had to get off Twitter because people were sending fake photos of her dead dad.
Yeah.
There was a post like, oh, here's the video before he killed himself and share it if you want to see it. And I'm like, okay, he obviously did not record a video of himself.
When they would go through her Instagram and there's not a lot of pictures of her with him.
They were giving her shit about that.
Like, well, did you even care about your dad type stuff? And I think she's off on all social media because of it. That's got to be haunting a little bit.
People are crazy.
People are
crazy.
Yeah, it's really easy to hide behind a computer and be a bully.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But we're sad about that. We really like Robin Williams here. I think he was really funny. Went to Juilliard. He was the roommate of Christopher Reeves in Juilliard. And he, when Christopher Reeves had his accident, Robin Williams went to his hospital room dressed up as a doctor with like a surgical mask over his face and was demanding Christopher Reeves get a proctology exam. And then he revealed his face and had a good laugh and joke. But yeah, he's an awesome dude. I will miss him.
Oh, did you see like that photographer who took a bunch of pictures of these two mimes and he actually realized it was actually
Robin Williams? That's awesome. He used to
like 25 years ago, he was in New York.
He was good. We'll get later in our podcast. We're going to do our favorite Robin Williams moment. But we also had somebody else pass away. Lauren Bacall, actress Lauren Bacall, who was Humphrey Bogart's main squeeze and Gregory Peck's main squeeze. She's like Hollywood royalty, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, she's probably hooked up with all the famous guys.
She was super hot.
Yeah.
I love the like, the poor man's Casablanca, To Have or Have Not, that starred her in Humphrey. Yep. So.
I bet she has, I mean, I'm sure she's been with everybody. Elvis, just everybody.
She had that sultry voice, so.
Yeah.
That's how we remember her. We don't.
Robin Williams. I mean, if she was here right now and we were interviewing her, I would love to go through her love life. Like, you've been. What was it like dating this guy? What was it like dating this guy? I mean, you've done the. You've been with these Oscar winners.
She was probably a beard a lot of times, though.
A what?
A beard.
You know what a beard is, Brian?
Yes. You know what a beard is? I definitely know. Well, who Tom he? Cruise shaved his beard a while ago. He's a working man. I think that would we'll miss her too. But she hasn't done anything recently.
Cary Grant was gay, just so you know.
Oh, I really? Know.
You didn't know that?
No.
There's a whole lifetime.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Seriously? I don't know.
I didn't know that.
You did, right?
Hell yeah, I did. I know who all the gay people are.
I don't know
who all the gay people are.
I don't know who all the gay people actors were.
I'm up on these gay.
Yeah. Honestly, Humphrey Bogart.
Rock Hudson.
Everyone knew Rock Hudson.
Humphrey Bogart wasn't gay.
Yeah, no, I'm saying he wasn't. Oh, okay. No, he obviously was. Wait, there was one.
Did you ever see him in a color movie, though? It was freaking me out.
But yeah, we'll miss Lauren Bacall. We'll miss Robin Williams. We'll get to Robin Williams a little later. But let's move on. Let's talk about some movies that came out this week.
We had more news.
We'll do news after this one. The big ones that came out this week, I guess, Let's Be Cops, Expendables 3, and The Giver. I saw The Giver. Let's start with The Giver. I saw it. Who else saw it here? You saw it. We all saw it. I thought it was fairly terrible. I gave it, I think, a 1.5 out of 5. Yeah.
I gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
It's a much better book than...
Yeah. Well, they definitely changed the book.
Not a visual... It's not a Hunger Games.
I think it was really hard to interpret.
Why it's taken so long.
They wanted to make it like the other ones. They wanted to make it like he was the chosen one. And it's futuristic society.
You can't help but compare it to Divergent.
Of course. Just like Divergent. With the whole fucking ceremony, you get to be placed here.
Like, you're being placed with the, here's your job you're chosen with. And the only difference is, they're so, it sucks because they're emotionless. So, I just didn't care.
If you're unfamiliar with The Giver, Giver was a 1993 book, that young adult book that sold tons and tons of
beard
copies.
On it, and he was bald.
Yeah, so but a lot of people read it, and it was about, you'll see, it's society that...
I thought
people were not supposed to feel anything, the movie. Interesting enough, I was very surprised that they went black and white with it because that's a big artsy move.
Part of it, though, because they it's in a great color.
But that's to do a young adult movie like that, kids do not want to see black and white. I feel, but I'm glad they did that.
Yeah, that didn't bother me.
And then I feel like it could be interesting to adults because you have. What's her name? Meryl Streep in it. You have Jeff Bridges in it.
She's in a short.
I didn't like her in it. Katie Hudson.
Holly
Holmes, whoever.
Really?
Terrible.
Yeah, Hudson.
Wow. Katie Holmes, Tom Cruise's ex. And then, of course, Skarsgård from True Blood. He was hilarious in it. I felt like he was his character when he was under the witch spell.
Skarsgård.
It was very, and there was not a whole lot of camaraderie or action sequences. No. It just it kind of dragged. And for some reason, if you see the movie, Jeff Bridges feels like, I feel like he has a mouthpiece in.
He always sounds like that lately. No way. It drove me insane.
His cheeks were puffed out. Wow. Like, he does not sound like that.
Yeah. Yes, he does. Watch True Grit again.
I watched True Grit.
He's doing an excellent True Grit, though.
But in this one, it just felt like he stuffed his mouth with gauze, and he's just, like, trying to talk.
I thought the best part of the movie was the song by One Direction, One Republic, at the end.
Yes, I agree.
For the end credits roll, that was my favorite part.
I like that song.
Taylor Swift had a cameo in the movie.
And she was not the worst thing.
She was a ghost.
She was not the worst thing in the movie.
She hardly ever talked as well.
Yeah, thank God she didn't
sing. Thank God she
didn't
sing.
I like the movie.
The what?
I think she sort of sang a little, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like it was a... they're trying to make this a trilogy or a franchise.
Yeah,
like,
it's definitely
not going to do that. It won't make money.
It's bland. The acting's solid, but there's nothing there.
The production budget was only $25 million, so it could potentially make.
Was it only $25 million?
Yeah,
I could see that because there was not a lot into it.
You made $12 million this past weekend. Who's just does? So it hasn't rolled out to like foreign markets.
They want
to
make a trilogy.
I feel like if it makes $100 million,
who's in the house
overall? They'll probably see a sequel.
Do you like it, Gotti?
No, but it's sad because it's a really talented group. Like
I agree,
Philip Noyce is really good. Like it's got a great crew. I mean, it's.
The cast is good, too.
Jeff Bridges, Meryl Streep. I mean, you'd think it would have been much better. I don't think it's as bad as a 1 out of 5, but it's certainly not a good movie. I wouldn't recommend it.
I would never see it again, and it was boring. Like, why would I want to see a sequel to that movie? It tried to hit you on the head with every emotion, and, like, very cheesy.
It was really cheesy. I wish it wasn't, like, emotions of these random people that I didn't know. Like, it was like, here's a shot in Africa, and here's a shot of a baby being born, and it's like... I mean, that's sweet.
You know, Luc Besson's movie...
Lucy
did this same type of crap, where it was these static shots of random shit about Earth, and it's like, stop giving us randomness and give us some type of, connection.
You could give us, like... obviously, they have these memories of these characters that they're erasing, so why don't you show us their, childhood instead?
Terrible. I didn't want
that would have been so much better. It would have added more character. Yes. So.
All right, let's move on. Who's seen Let's Be Cops?
Oh,
you're the old y'all too. I didn't see it.
Fucking hilarious.
Was it good? Was it good? It's good. Also, give us the premise. Give us the premise.
It's literally two guys who
friends.
They're best friends. They're roommates, and their lives aren't that career wise. Their lives suck, and they go to a Halloween party dressed up as cops, and then one night people think they are cops, and they're like, oh, hey, this is a great idea. So
they get a car and deck it out as a cop.
So they're not actually trying to be cops through the real
stuff. They're just fucking around.
They're
definitely illegal shit.
Okay.
They're in the real world.
They just like the authority that they get. Like, they can just randomly.
And it's Damon Wayne Jr. and
Jake Johnson.
New
Girl.
And they're excellent.
I thought they had great chemistry.
They're great. Like, the actual, and Rob Riggle, they are all funny themselves. To me, the movie as a whole is
There's no real story.
It's not like 22 Jump Street funny, in my opinion.
Yeah. It doesn't have a consistent, and it doesn't have a good villain or anything like...
So is it like End of Watch, but with these two guys?
It's the actors that are funny more than the movie, if that makes sense. Like, the actors are hilarious, but the movie itself... There is a really funny scene in the grocery store. The balls,
Balls to the face.
That was my question when they were here.
Yeah.
Really?
That was funny.
So you talked to them.
Yeah, they were really nice. Rob Riggle and
Jake.
They did a weird screening thing for that, right?
Well, I went to Alamo and watched it, but
I watched it in the
The trailer.
It's a portable trailer.
But that's where we did the roundtable. We sat in there and they handed us and they filmed us. It was weird.
It was really weird. It was y'all's.
Y'all
weren't there.
We were at a wedding, but that was our crew. Yeah.
It was cool. That was a cool way to do the roundtable.
Yeah, Mark Walters unfortunately was blocking half people.
But it's a fun summer movie.
It's fun. You just shouldn't go into it with high expectations.
If you want to have a good laugh on an afternoon or an evening, sure, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And it's a hell of a lot better than what else is out there.
It's better than The Giver.
Yeah.
I would totally. Okay. I could watch Let's Be Cops again.
Okay.
Yeah. And they seem like great guys. That whole press conference was hilarious.
They are so cool.
They made everybody feel comfortable.
They made everyone feel
doing
special.
Doing shout-outs.
Yeah.
Doing shout-outs to everybody. And they even forgot Mark Walters, so they went back at the end. And said,
yeah.
Hey, what's your name? We're gonna do it. So they did one for him.
It's funny. Actually, they forgot, like, some more people in the front, too. They only went back for Mark.
But they only, yeah. But it's, you know, okay. And out of the three big releases this week, that actually did the best.
That did the best.
Yeah, it beat out Expendables.
So let's talk about Expendables 3. I saw Expendables 3. I actually thought they finally, I actually enjoyed it. They finally realized that they needed to make an over-the-top, not serious movie.
I don't think the other ones were that serious, though. Like,
they definitely try to take it serious. Not like this third one. The third one, they broke.
Good.
It was fun as shit, man. And between PG-13, there's literally like 500 deaths in the movie. So PG-13 was fine.
It doesn't mean anything about deaths, though. It's a lot about the goriness and the cussing.
They're still cursing. There was one fuck. Harrison Ford got the one fuck. But they broke the fourth wall like 10 times in the movie, which was hilarious. There's 7 one-liners in the movie. And it was the director who,
what's
I guess,
your favorite
this is
one-liner from it?
Arnold Schwarzenegger reprising his role, "Get to the Choppa." From Predator. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was hoping to say, I'll be back.
I was waiting for him to say that, and I was waiting for... everybody mostly had one. There were some pretty good ones. But, I mean, it was... The director let... what's her name? Ronda Rousey, the UFC fighter, and Wesley Snipes do their martial arts without quick cuts. Just, like, put the camera on them and let them do it, which was really well done.
Did Wesley Snipes say, "Don't you know white men can't jump"?
No, I was waiting for either Always Bet on Black or that, but he said his thing was like jing-a-ling or something like that before he killed somebody. Jing-a-ling-ling. But it was fun. Like, it's a fun movie.
Okay,
it's,
you gave that like a 4 out of 5.
Fuck yeah.
Are you serious?
Have you seen it? You should see the action set pieces were pretty impressive.
4 out of 5 is big.
It was a fun fuck. I'd watch that again right now.
I'm sure it was a fun time. Yeah, the audience didn't agree with you, unfortunately.
Compared to their
other two movies,
I enjoyed it.
Well,
I did enjoy
it.
Number
in my
no, the Giver
in smaller
less,
indie
but,
films,
no,
we opened up.
Expendables is number 4. Unless the Cops is number 3. So
what's 1 and 2?
Ninja Turtles got number 1 again. And Guardians of the Galaxy got 2.
Guardians should be number 1.
I don't know why. Somewhere. Yeah, Ninja Turtles. Yeah.
Surprise! Ninja Turtles got 1.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, somebody, that movie should not be.
That means just a lot of people didn't see it yet.
Exactly. Well, it just means a lot of people don't care about simple things that make a movie good.
Man, I feel like they're like, oh, they're taking their kids to see it. And they're like, I love Turtles, but they literally think that everybody's wrong and how bad the movie is, and they're going to go see it.
Funny,
well, they already greenlit a sequel because it's already made over $100 million.
Yeah,
so
I'm not surprised.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. They're bringing Bay back to... balls. So you're talking about indie movies, Adam. Talk about indie
movies. A movie called Land Ho opened up at the Angelica this week, and it's about two old guys that are trying to have fun in Iceland.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. And
funny?
Funny. And we also have a movie called Dinosaur 13, which is a CNN film.
What is it called?
Dinosaur 13.
Dinosaur 13?
Dinosaur 13.
Yeah, Dinosaur 13. What?
Is it like Jurassic Park?
Dinosaur.
No. Well, it's kind of like Dinosaur 1 through 12, but 13.
It's about the discovery of the 13th T-Rex skeleton.
Before time.
Is it a documentary?
And it's the most complete.
Live action.
It doesn't sound.
It isn't.
And it's basically the fight between 3 different groups that think they have claim to it.
Interesting.
It's pretty.
There was something that came out this week. Is it Steven Spielberg's Ragnarok?
Ragnarok.
Ragnarok. Yeah, what is that? Is Spielberg attached to that, right?
Falcor. I think it's like a web series or something.
Are You Here come out this week, too?
Are we? Yes, it did.
Are You Here came out?
But only
in
like 8 theaters.
In like
it's
a theater.
In a theater, like it's not going to do well at all.
It had to come out in Dallas because they screened it here, right?
Yeah.
It
will.
Horrible.
So, Are You Here is a movie with Zach Galifianakis, Owen Wilson, and Amy Poehler. It has a stellar cast, but supposedly
it's a
nobody liked it.
Cast, though. Owen Wilson, no one can like him in that role.
When
he's
Amy Poehler is like the, yeah, she's
Amy Poehler's
not
the best
funny
part,
at all.
But she's
barely
the best
in
part
it, and she is the best part.
She's
Zach Galifianakis is just playing way too over the top to like him.
Yeah.
I certainly didn't believe them hooking up.
I like
up
the
step on hell with
neither
that shit.
Me neither.
Owen Wilson
was like,
Jack Alton.
I don't care. I don't care if she was... That was just a stupid excuse. I would. You don't even understand. I was. She helped me. I'm like, are you talking about? I don't help guys that have sex with them.
So why did this movie get a release at all?
Yeah, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So why did this movie get a release at all?
You're doing it wrong.
What?
Why did this? It seems like everybody hated this movie. Why did this movie get a
release?
Because of who it was attached to. You know, Matthew Weiner of Mad Men and Sopranos.
So the guy,
but it wasn't
that.
It was a shitty movie. If I hadn't known that Mr. Mad Men had written it with his brother, it was shitty because it was really bad written.
But the
material, and it was really boring.
So Matt,
wait a second. Matthew Weiner wrote it. Right?
Co-wrote it,
and it's terribly written?
Yeah.
Which is crazy because Mad Men is, like, winning awards, so...
Mad Men is a drama that's set in a specific time for a specific type of style compared to a movie that is so aloof and about just a random-ass newsman in the middle of nowhere who goes into a farm with his little pothead buddy. There's no comparison between the quality writing of Mad Men and this piece of shit film. It doesn't make... the Wiener brothers bad writers, but for this film,
but doesn't
really
it
really boring.
Doesn't
no,
it the writing
I
just
trust
their
Mad Men legacy a lot more. I just maybe I won't go see a comedy with them.
Was it the delivery or was it the actual
it
writing?
It was the script. It was the
it
fact
was
that
script.
This had no idea.
Boring.
There was, but it was all over the place. Like one minute you think it's going one direction, and then it's like, no, I'm going to go this way, and it's just like it's frustrating.
That's crazy to me because Wiener seems like he's like the top of his game in TV, but not in film.
Yeah,
it's
drama.
The worst is how like there's a scene where they really try to get like when Owen Wilson and Zach Gilman, he starts like crying in his shoulder. He's like, "I'm trying. I don't know. Like, who are you? Who are you?" I was like, "What?" It tries so hard to be like really deep.
Did y'all
and, like finding yourself
at your screening? It looked like there was tons of people there. Did you see anybody or hear anybody that really liked it?
I mean, they clapped afterwards.
They
not
did.
Not everyone, though.
Not everyone. Some people did.
Audiences usually like everything.
Yeah. I think I heard some audiences say they liked it. But, you know, they don't know what they're talking about.
But I feel like most of those people in the audience are at most of those screenings.
It's
especially
the same group. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I mean, I see a lot of the same people there.
It's very true.
Does Angelica have, like,
a lot of people that
like a
movies
retirement home that just always comes?
No.
There's like a same group of
screen
like
movies.
Well, there's a Dallas screen group who like basically share everything that's happening. So
they're the people that sit out there.
And unemployed and like just come sit and hang out.
There are fans of the podcast. We enjoy
our one fan of the podcast.
I just figured I was like maybe that's like some kind of program.
Our one fan. Our one listener.
Gore?
Like the nice old lady Lila who came in and
talked to us for
a
while. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I don't think she would have liked the film, though.
She tried to friend me on Facebook. Guys, who's this?
So, out of all the movies this week, what should we recommend people to see? Or should we just tell them to go back to
see
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
Into the Storm.
See Let's Be Cops.
Let's Be Cops is worth it.
Let's Be Cops?
You can spend your money.
Go on Chef. Chef's still playing.
Step
that's
up all in.
Oh, if you haven't seen Chef, go see Chef first.
Don't eat a big meal and watch Chef.
If you haven't
yeah
seen Step Up All In, it's the newest.
They didn't screen it out here.
I know, that was so funny. Sally was like, we are not showing a screening. I was like, don't worry.
I would not go either way.
Well, so that's movies that came out this week. We'll be back next week with more movies, but let's move on to some weird, crazy news this week that came out.
Weird, crazy news.
In addition to Robin Williams and Lauren McCall's passing, we just read that SeaWorld, the famous theme parks for the killer whale Shamu, are actually going through a major renovation through their controversial whale tanks because of possibly the movie Blackfish, the documentary that basically put SeaWorld in a negative light. God, do you care to add on to that?
It's shocking that they didn't, like, pay on, at least make comment of Blackfish in it.
Of course they wouldn't.
Like, they probably look
shocking
like the dumbass.
They don't want to associate themselves with
why
that
not,
movie
though?
Why would they?
They already know they fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead with the full admit then and say, you know what? We have for the last 20 years been treating these animals incorrectly. on purpose.
That's going to keep people...
It's not the same people that are there that were...
If they admit that, they're...
Yeah, they're going to be done. Keep reminding
there are people that have lawsuits out for them. I know they got to keep that...
That'd be horrible business.
But if people think this is the it's more the beginning of the end than this is the last move. Like, they're just going to hit rock bottom because people will sue the shit out of them.
Well, it's interesting because Morgan Spurlock's McDonald's documentary, Super Size Me, after he did that, McDonald's immediately got rid of the Super Size option. But they never said it was because of that documentary. But they did back then, and they started, I guess, putting
all
the...
They would get even more backlash from if they said, oh yeah, they're right. They're not going to do that.
No, oh, shit, if they admitted they were animal cruelty,
they're dropped by, like, triple than it's ever... It's the lowest amount of attendance
it's 4%. You drop by, it's minimal, but it's slowly declining.
But Gotti had that interesting point.
Film is powerful.
It is.
Okay. Yeah.
So why not acknowledge that and make changes and be like, okay, look what we did. Instead of being McDonald's, which is... McDonald's is a hell of a lot more powerful than SeaWorld, and they can go a couple of months without a supersized meat feature and come back and be fine. SeaWorld, this could really impact their whole market. You're talking about Universal Studios, which is double the size of it.
Yeah.
Disney World, fucking Harry Potter World is opening up. What kid will go see SeaWorld when you can go fucking be a wizard? I'm sorry, SeaWorld's done. You can go to your local aquarium and see cooler shit.
Well,
you can go to the Dallas Aquarium and see big-ass whale sharks.
How many SeaWorlds are there, and how many people do they employ? I can't imagine...
Whale shark there now?
No, I can't imagine that there being a lot. I know there's one in San Antonio. There's one in Orlando.
And then they've got overseas.
They got overseas?
Yeah.
I can't imagine that employing a whole lot of people, and I feel like they would just move on to other things.
But the CEO came out and said that these new habitats were in the works for a long time, and he feels that even if these habitats... do come out that all these people that have been protesting and have been swayed against SeaWorld aren't going to necessarily come back. And so he's just trying to figure out a way to just keep the people that
keyword is new CEO, right?
Yeah.
He's only been in there for a couple of years. He wasn't there for the bulk of what Blackfish is talking about. That's why I'm saying if he was a little bit of a smarter CEO and really wanted to have an impact, go ahead and admit all the shit that happened before you got there and said, look, guys... We're going to change it completely now. Let's redo SeaWorld. Instead, they're going to be the same old fucking little whale with the little turned over thing, and everyone's going to think the same thing. It's stupid marketing, and if y'all think it's a positive thing because they have to keep quiet, well, they're going to lose business,
and they're not
going to be the same.
Well, Blackfish has not had a positive impact on
their business
at all.
That's the power of film. Use that. Go to the Blackfish people and be like, thank you. To help us figure out how to change this so we don't have these little death traps for these whales where the whales attack each other and shit.
Yeah, that's implausible, man. There's no way that...
It's implausible to think a McDonald's would change. It's not very implausible to think that a SeaWorld would get closed.
McDonald's
would
go to Morgan Spurlock afterwards. Oh, hey, yeah, let me talk. Can we talk to you about how we...
They definitely...
Of course not, because they're a billion-dollar company. SeaWorld is not. SeaWorld could close. McDonald's wasn't going to close because of the power of Morgan Spurlock. But SeaWorld's decline could easily keep going and could put them out of business.
But his documentary did change.
Then why would you change it?
But
it didn't change McDonald's policy.
It's not just Blackfish. It's other things. Like you said, there's other theme parks that are taking people's attention away. And it had a steady decline because people aren't as interested.
So if you're the CEO, would you not want to do something drastic and different? And why not listen to the audience that went out and saw this documentary so much that it fucking got nominated for an
Oscar?
Because
they don't cater to that audience.
It got nominated for an Oscar. There's plenty of documentaries out there that were a little bit better than Blackfish, but it got so much recognition.
People that actually want to go to SeaWorld. They actually care about SeaWorld.
No, they don't.
They don't want to cater to people that don't like SeaWorld.
No, that's what they said in their little release. But you're telling me they're saying that they don't mind losing 40% of their fucking end of year people, like they're cool. You like the real fans of SeaWorld. Bullshit. You like anyone who shows the hell up to look at your whale.
Yeah.
With any family in America.
When's the last time you've been to SeaWorld, though?
It was a long time ago. I will tell you.
They have theme park rides.
Yes, they have roller coasters.
They've added roller coasters. They've added like a whole water park.
And what happened? One movie crippled their ass.
3.6%. It's slowly declining, but it's still.
Your point there for that was to nobody was just going to see.
No.
Animals, they had to do a thing.
All these other things. Of course they're going to keep trying, but the problem is damage is done, like you said, and there's slowly, the awareness is slowly
gaining in Blackfish's favor, so they're not going to go, hey, Blackfish is right. Because, hey, we don't want more people.
Blackfish
is
not
in
favor. Blackfish was a film that got released last year. Those people on that film are doing other stuff. They might still be very supporting of organizations.
There's PETA. There's the advocacy
group. Change your organization. You're the only one.
Well, let's not bring up PETA. They're fucking crazy. Let's
always be someone against something, no matter what.
Correct. But let's bring up the other point.
Wait and see.
People are in a backlash about Blackfish because I think they're animals. But has there anything been done over the movie The Act of Killing? Have we gone over there to take out this paramilitary? But it's humans. But do you see my point,
though? One's an American company. It's a lot easier to boycott SeaWorld than
We're talking about mass killings, like a holocaust of people.
There's mass killings all over the world.
That's true.
Not in Africa.
Yes.
Is there oil over there?
Well, I think people just feel guilty because it's animal cruelty, and they feel like, just regular people feel like they're contributing to that. Like, they're paying
to do that,
Then they feel can control, they can do something about it, versus, like, what can they do about
Because he was telling people one thing where, I guess, proof now is, like showing it's a whole different story. So, yeah.
And people feel so cool to be like, well, I'm never going to SeaWorld again, so that's my part. I'm good.
It's like, yeah, whales only live to be 25. Well, this whale is 110, so...
We support killer whales. We don't support SeaWorld. Moving on to a lighter subject, Bill Cosby.
I don't know if that's lighter.
Bill Cosby.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Bill Cosby had just signed an exclusive deal with Netflix, and he's going to do a new stand-up special specifically for them.
But is he still funny? That's
He did. He did a new stand-up special 2 years ago.
I
saw him on
Jay Leno last year or something, and
Is he still relevant?
He's a
that's
rambler.
A thing.
Yeah. Absolutely. So he's one of the greatest storytellers of comedy ever.
But he's even got backlash in major speeches he's given, like he was doing all those college speeches, and he got a lot of backlash for that. I think a lot of people think he's old.
But he's 77.
So,
and he's doing his comedy special for Netflix.
Eddie Murphy's not going around trying to do his comedy.
Dude, he goes back and forth.
Does he?
He's doing music
now. Not like
now.
This. Eddie Murphy's not signing. I mean, I don't think people are going to care to go see Bill Cosby. They might go see him at the Windsphere because that clientele is a little bit older, and they want to see Bill Cosby.
I saw Bill Cosby in college. It was sold out. He was awesome. I mean, guaranteed that was 10 years ago.
That was like 30 years ago, so.
Yes.
And he's been back recently since. He does.
Yeah, I saw him at the Fort Worth Bass Hall, and he was excellent. He sold that out, too, and he was really good. He's still really funny, and I think he has a lot of new material, and he's going to talk about being 77, which one of his best ones was turning 49, and then before that was himself when he was talking about just starting
family.
It is
cool nostalgic-wise. I add the question that Adam has. Is he going to be that funny?
I mean, is there something that you haven't seen that he was not funny? Like,
a lot.
Yeah,
well,
last 10 years.
That's Jay Leno, first off, and that's like 7 minutes of them asking ridiculous questions.
Oh, no, Jay Leno didn't get a talk. Bill Cosby just went on.
He's not David Letterman. David Letterman's worse than Jay Leno at that. I'm sure.
Well, Letterman
Bill Cosby
became old and bitter.
Go watch it, and you will see Bill Cosby just kept talking and talking, and you're like, what are you talking?
But
he kept laughing.
But let's bring up the point that a comedian, a stand-up comedian, has a special on Netflix only, not on HBO. Aziz did now, but that owes him.
Yeah, Aziz is a lot more relevant than Bill Cosby.
Yeah. And Jim
but not as good,
more.
Though. No,
I would tap the brake on
Jim
that, too.
Right?
I think Aziz is a lot funnier.
His first special I really liked.
Sure.
The second special I did
back
not
in
like.
The day was a hell of a lot funnier than Aziz.
He's never
ever
been in Bill Cosby himself.
Exactly, but would I go see Aziz over Bill Cosby any day of the week?
I wouldn't.
Oh, I would.
Are you
not
nuts?
Pay to see Bill Cosby.
Parks and Rec, Aziz Ansari is not bigger than Bill Cosby right now.
Parks and Rec, Aziz is different from his stand-up. Parks and Rec, Aziz is hilarious.
Aziz is coming to American Airlines Center.
Which
is
crazy. That's a terrible venue.
Yeah.
That's a terrible venue for
him. I'm not saying
is
it's
it?
A terrible
no.
venue.
Yeah, I don't know if it is.
That just means
then,
that he's going to bring in that big of a crowd.
Yeah, they have more faith in him for that, though. That's what I'm saying.
You don't get American Airlines for faith. You get American Airlines because you make money.
Yeah, they're not going to book that if you're not.
We're not talking stupid people to AAC. They book the biggest people that
they
come
must
down.
Have known that when he came to whatever Nokia was last year,
it must have sold out quickly
or something. Because there's no way that they would book.
There are so many quality comedians I'd rather be seen given a show than Bill Cosby right now. No offense to Bill. I love what Bill does on his own where he goes around and does these little shows at Bass Hall for groups of people that want to go see him. But if you're going to eat up Netflix time and
what
money,
do you mean time?
It'll why not give it to someone bigger? Netflix right now is super hot, and you're giving it to 70-year-old fucking Bill Cosby. Good luck with that. I hope, you know, I hope it does well. It won't.
Well, it's demographic.
Well, that's the point. Oh, I'm sure. Who do you else do you think? Like,
old people?
This opens.
Yes. Old people have Netflix?
This opens
that's
up.
Not what
who's fun? What
is Netflix?
What are y'all smoking?
Internet.
This opens up a gate to other
to
things
what?
Like that. To other comedians. To other. No. To other comedians doing
they
this.
Might sell the DVD program.
I hope so. But I hope, like, you know, under 60 would be great.
Under 60.
Well, Netflix doesn't release how much money they make off of shows, which is like a big thing. And but we know they're making lots of money because they're
of course they are
keep greenlighting more and more shows.
I'm not against Netflix greenlighting stuff. I just wish like let's give a new.
You just
wanted
to bring back Ghost Dad this year.
That would be so much better.
We need a Leonard Part 1-5.
Yeah, where's Leonard Part 1-5?
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about that. All right, and let's talk about the first music video ever to premiere exclusively on Twitter was Michael Jackson's new video for A Place With No Name, which is on his Escape album.
Escape.
It was the first video to premiere on Twitter.
Sweet.
And it was a...
How did he look?
Well, so it's a music video. It's basically archival footage from his In the Closet music video from the History album.
And new footage shot by the dude who did Smells Like Teen Spirit.
David LaChapelle?
No. Good
David LaChapelle?
Samuel Bayer. Did shot
all well, have you seen, has anyone seen the music video?
I did, yeah, I watched it. It's black and white.
It's okay. It's like, yeah. It's like,
but it's a lot of art.
There's like a lot of this torso dancing. And
it's from black. It's from In the Closet from the History album. It's a,
but it's
from that video.
It wasn't shown in the video. It's extra footage.
Yeah, extra footage from that. But
yeah.
He's in the same outfit. So I was.
It's a good song.
I thought the
song
from the Billboard Awards should have been his second single over this one because that one was a lot more powerful.
Slave to the Rhythm. That's a good song.
That should have been a better song.
But I was very, like, I didn't know what I expected, really. I mean, he recorded the song, you know, 10 years ago. I mean, this song was already out a long time ago, but I was just, like, let down. I felt like, you know, his music videos were, like, paved the way for everything. And this
recorded
one was
most of his songs a while ago.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, like, I mean, he's been dead for five years, but I mean, for the Escape album, he recorded from...
Tupac, so good at this.
He recorded from, like, 83 to 99. That's when he recorded all these
songs.
Too,
so.
But...
They say they have a lot more songs.
They have 100.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had a vault full of songs.
I agree.
Justin Timberlake, your career is set. You can sing with Michael all damn decade.
But I watched the video. I was just underwhelmed. I just, like, I wanted it to be something more. But
it's
been
surprising because you're the biggest Michael Jackson
fan. I agree. And on Twitter, it's been, I think, retweeted so far, like, 52,000 times or something like that.
Tweets.
That's it?
Something like that, but it's been on different things.
Yeah, that's terrible because it's only that much.
Well, technically, I think they've released it twice, so it's one is like 52,000.
Well, wouldn't Justin Timberlake, if he just tweeted it out once, go to like several millions?
Yeah, well, who knows? Well, that's just under the Michael Jackson Twitter handle. It's probably been retweeted on other people's more than that. But on the Michael Jackson Twitter one, it was done a lot. But yeah... I wonder if we'll start seeing new music videos released on Twitter or Facebook only, which
well,
is weird.
Well, they did 50 Shades of Grey trailer. Beyonce was the one who released it first, and she released it on Twitter. So they're starting to use Twitter and other social media outlets to do stuff like that because they know there's already a built-in audience, and you're going to start seeing more and more celebrities that have a huge following actually pair up with studios and things that do these big releases because...
Yeah.
They know that it will get out to their...
I think Facebook is on its way out. I think Instagram and Vine and Twitter are still around.
Facebook
is
out. Up.
I think
he's
it's all
the
this way
richest
up.
Man in the world.
I think Facebook is...
He's reinventing
every
step of the way.
All it is getting more people.
Facebook as it is definitely out. But
he just bought Oculus.
They keep buying... They have enough money to buy these companies that are the next wave. And they'll end up adapting. In some way or some form, and stay. They'll be around for a long time.
It's terrible,
but the relevance of Facebook in the generation that is the most important and viable to an advertising standpoint is definitely on its way out because no one wants to be on there with their grandparents.
Well, it's not only
like,
that.
Liking your party photos. Unfortunately.
Well, Facebook recently on your mobile platforms you will not allow you to message anybody unless you download a separate messaging app, which is fucking
terrible. And which had a lot of controversy, too, because of the way that it was going to take over your phone. Like, people were, like, freaking out over it because...
Well, there was... where you're talking, where you're going to text people.
Yeah,
like,
well, and it gave Facebook the ability to go in and actually turn on your camera whenever it felt like it and turn on your audio. So you can record you without you knowing.
Which is crazy.
It's ridiculous. Just so you can have a Messenger app so you don't have to go into
Facebook. Had the Messenger app in the Facebook app already.
Yeah.
But there was somebody, like you said, who had a better Messenger app and they...
They're like, oh, we'll show you.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we're going to, like, we need more. For Facebook, it's all about collecting data. And that's where they make most of their money. It's taking data, collecting all the information about you and
sending it to other people.
Advertisers. And so
how do they get away with this? Did you download it? You're on Facebook.
Oh, I was. I did.
And how is it? What's it like, Susan?
Wait, what are you talking about?
The Facebook messaging app.
I don't like it.
So it's terrible.
So it's filming you right now.
It's recording our voices right now. And
that's what it did. Yeah.
You made me do it.
You haven't seen the report.
I didn't make me. It tried to make me do it. I didn't download it though.
Say no.
Yeah, I
said
no.
And then it was like, I couldn't get to my regular Facebook.
Are
messages.
You sure?
Correct.
You
I can't either.
They're canceling that. They're doing that on purpose, so you have to get
to correct. And I didn't do it.
For your phone. You can't
so
do
you're
your
just
phone.
Not messaging on Facebook through your phone?
Fuck no.
Apparently not. Yeah.
So.
It's ridiculous. You should go see some of the things that are built into the policy.
There's a thing called
people
a
don't
text
read
them.
Message. They know people
oh,
don't read
them. I'm deleting it right now.
People don't read the agreements,
yeah.
so they throw in stuff in their
Have you seen the South Park episode,
yeah.
the Human Sentai Pad?
Yeah.
Did
you
like 2 days
ago,
people?
It's like, cut the fish over the list. So sorry, Kyle.
But yeah, they can turn on your camera, they can turn on your mic, they're able to see who you text,
and
like, not... regularly, like on your, like they have access to your
phone.
They can pull photos off your phone.
This is like in the. Like,
they can pull photos off
your
phone.
Yep.
And they can use any photos, anything that you have on Facebook is already theirs. They have, anything you put on Facebook, they get the copyright to. So any photos, any videos.
Horrible thing.
They can own and use however they want.
Me.
Are you deleting it now?
I deleted that.
Can you say fuck Facebook and
I'm excited about, I guess, saying Facebook bought Oculus, which is the new awesome virtual reality system that they premiered at like South by Southwest.
They did a Comic-Con Oculus experiences.
And we'll see if there's going to be a whole new virtual world. It's going to be like...
It wasn't that cool to me.
Like The Matrix.
See, I don't understand how these companies can get away with selling private information to people.
Pacific
all for advertising.
Give them
permission.
It's all about privacy settings.
Like,
we're
so,
as a nation, we want to read the fine print.
Like,
we want to get past this already.
No.
Yeah,
but
there's
the... You're sitting in a chair, so I could, like, if you turn... Aziz
had a big
thing.
But
the
IT, I don't know.
The one where you're actually standing
okay,
up.
Okay, I don't care about the stupid iTunes agreement. Why do I need another iTunes? I already got one, like, 3 days ago.
My friends did the Game of Thrones experience, and they said that one was really cool because, like, things are getting thrown at them, and they had to, like... And if they got hit, it was like they really got hit.
I'm excited because it's going to be like a real-life Lawnmower Man. So,
yeah. Jeff Fahey's coming back in a big way.
Fahey.
All right. Do we have any other cool news?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to mention, I guess some of the Emmys are starting to roll out, and they did the animation one, and Harry Shearer won for the first time
ever
for Simpsons.
And Bob's Burger won, too, right?
And Bob's Burger won.
And those
what
are
Harry Shearer won
deal.
For?
For his voice acting
in Simpsons.
Simpsons.
And he's been on since season
Who's
one.
Who does he voice again?
Like 10 people.
Like,
Ned Flanders, Lenny.
Yeah.
He's Handsome Dan from...
Handsome Dan, yes he
he's
is.
He's
from
Texas Theater on there.
Airheads.
Yeah. Handsome Dan!
He's Smithers. He's, like, he's a lot of people. He's really, is he Mr. Burns also? Mr. Burns also.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
A good number of them. Him and, like... Hank Azaria,
and he was in Spinal Tap. For you guys that don't know who Harry Shearer is,
correct. So
trying to take a cucumber.
And did you
want to
talk about Star Wars at all?
Through the
thing. I know.
So the
so
thing we
would rather talk Star Wars
right,
than
so,
Batman, but, Superman in the future.
Is there
by
anything
the way.
New about?
All right,
before they revealed
the
villains.
What else?
It's Inquisitor. And he's rebuilding Darth Vader.
Oh, that's really? Oh.
And he's rebuilding Darth Vader.
All right, hold
he's
on
getting
a second.
All of
let's,
Vader's stuff.
Let's talk. Let's,
it's a hell of a lot cooler than Batman Superman.
All right, we know. Well,
what other? Do we have any other awards from this? The Emmy?
No, that was just a big one.
That was just small creative ones that came out.
That's just a big
not
one. Let's talk about Star Wars.
I'm super excited about one of these big blockbuster movies.
Daily Show.
Nah.
Fargo one.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, well, that's Emmy's next
week. Yeah.
Okay.
Emmy's but Star Wars, they did release an image online, which is supposedly of
they're
the villain.
They're basically rewriting the whole episode of Star
Wars.
Who's
doing what? What's going on, Gotti?
Gavin with Gotti, go.
Tell us, Gotti, what's your...
It looks pretty good.
So we know Adam Driver is a villain, right?
It's a lot of guys. So we're pretty sure he's the one of the Inquisitors. So,
okay. So wait, give us the breakdown. What's going on in this?
Abrams will be directing
episode seven.
All of the main people are back. Mark Hamill, Han Solo.
I heard he's got grizzly beard. Apparently, that he
said Mark Hamill and Han Solo.
Han Solo is Harrison
Ford. Han Solo back.
The Han Solo.
But everyone's back. It looks like it's badass. It's got a bunch of no-name casting for the...
Is Hayden Christensen
name?
No.
No-name. There's a bunch of names.
Daisy Ridley is
Oscar Isaacs from Inside Llewyn Davis.
John Boyega?
But we don't know any... We know certain roles.
John the girl from 12 Years a Slave? On Nyong Nyong Chim Yong Yong?
No, Sophia. Whatever.
Nyong Nyong Yong?
What was she?
What, who?
Lupita Nyong'o.
Lupita Nyong'o, yeah. What is she in that?
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
She's a villain.
But the thing was
he
that...
He's going to be in more stuff. I'm down.
But the thing was that they released an image. They released an image of a villain. We don't know too much about
the
JJ.
Stormtroopers.
Well, no, the Stormtrooper thing was not real. That was not a real
thing. And they also announced that the one female lead that's unknown is actually Daisy Ridley signed on for all three films.
Correct.
So, you know, she's going to be a big part of whatever this
You're
is.
Not excited that the next two films are Mr. Johnson? I think it's going
to be great. I'm excited, but at the same time, I wonder what happened with J.J. Abrams' relationship to make him not be a part of
the same thing that happens with everything with J.J.
He's
passes it on. He's busy.
Oh,
J.J. Abrams is the most busy human
on the
planet.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, that something... there's been like rumors that there's creative differences, and he doesn't like the way that... Disney is forcing him to go in a certain direction that he doesn't want to go.
Well, Disney is forcing him to hit his deadline that he doesn't want to make.
Because he wants to make a good film, and they're pressuring him into putting a film out that he doesn't think is going to be good.
And then
it's not enough time to actually.
Harrison Ford broke his ankle, and they just got back on set from doing that.
Well, basically, there's new characters called the Inquisitors, because in the mythos, like only for a Sith Lord, you know, it can be two. Which was the Emperor and Darth Vader. Now, you know, I'm not sure who it's going to be now, but like these Inquisitors are saying have been around since the, you know, before time, helping out the Sith Lords. So they're not full on Jedi like type characters, but they have certain powers.
Do they have midichlorians?
Probably not.
I don't think they're going to get back into that.
But also, because the main bad guy in Star Wars Rebels is an Inquisitor. And it's played by Jason Isaacs.
And what about the new... They had that new animated Rebel...
That's what I just
said. So do you think that...
I literally just said that.
I wasn't listening. So is that going to be...
Yes, because there's
a Inquisitor storyline.
Yeah.
So that's probably introducing the characters that might be in the film.
No, basically what they're saying is...
And also the future books that are going to be released will also connect to this universe.
They're basically, with Rebels, they're saying that, you know, the Star Wars universe doesn't... only care about the Skywalker family. So these are whole new characters that are doing other stuff.
So the movies are going to focus on the Skywalker family while the other ones are not.
But they're all linked.
And Jar Jar will be back. Probably
supposedly.
Not.
He's the butler.
Someone will be wearing his skull as a hat.
He's the butler.
Yeah.
We're excited for Star Wars.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this 40th podcast up with our favorite Robin Williams moments. Who wants to start?
So
one of my most favorite moments is his Robin Williams Live on Broadway.
Live at the Met? The old one or the one? The newer one. The newer
Broadway
one, yeah. That was really good.
It was so funny.
I love when he dropped the water on the floor and he's like, oh, la, la, la,
the best part was definitely where he was talking about going down on his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like, I love you!
You get so your face starts going, and we gotta keep going through.
I laughed so hard. I actually went out to Blockbuster and bought it on DVD.
At Blockbuster?
The Blockbuster, which is no longer around. For $1.99.
The Blockbuster video.
But because they didn't have it on Blu-ray, and I'm like, why not? greatness. I could watch that special over and over again for sure.
Who else?
But,
mine's movie scene.
So,
movie scene. No, I mean, pretty much the whole Dead Poets Society, but obviously the
Captain.
That scene every time makes me cry.
Yeah.
Every single time.
I'm going to have to say Good Morning Vietnam his Adrian Cronauer monologues. That's how I got into acting and all that stuff. I memorized all those monologues.
That pretty
much. I love the movie. It's Not Your Fault. Good one.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
It's Not Your Fault. That's a good one.
Well, I don't even like a bet. Like, I put it on my Facebook. My favorite moment was actually the one where he was talking about his wife and, like, the good times and bad times from Good Will Hunting. And, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I love my good. Wife now. That whole thing was.
That was really
That
good.
Was, like, my favorite. From
He was good
from
in
him.
That.
I feel that's why he won the Academy Awards, because that emotion he got, you know. And I love the fact that comedians are able to pull emotion. Breaking Bad and all these other places where they pull these comedians that all you know them for is funny stuff, and they're able to turn
it
around.
Yeah.
And be such
They're usually
actors.
Really good at it, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm probably the minority on this, but I love the movie Death to Smoochie.
Oh, right. Everyone
Adrian
great.
Brody?
That movie is great.
That's not
the
great
Oh, Edward Norton.
Yeah.
That movie is great.
That's Danny DeVito.
Yeah. That scene where Robin Williams plays Rambo Randolph and he's in Edward Norton's apartment, which is his old studio apartment, and he sees Edward Norton changed it and he put the picture of the rhinoceros on there and he just tells him, like, why do you have a picture of your fucking mother up here? And it's like, that's totally ad-lib. That's totally Robin. He was so good in that. I mean, of course, I loved his voice work as the genie in Aladdin.
In Robots?
So,
yeah.
That's one of the saddest images that have been going around on Facebook. It's like,
hugging.
Genie, you're free.
Yeah.
That definitely makes me tear up for sure.
And Miss Doubtfire, we all quoted Miss Doubtfire. We all love that.
Yeah, you talk about, like, a really sad scene to me is still whenever they say, we're taking your kids from you or whatever, and he's like, no, no, please don't. Like, just that.
He had so many strong films, like, in the early 90s. Huh? Like, we were, Hook, exactly.
Jumanji.
Bangarang,
like
Peter.
Flubber.
Bangarang.
So, like, definitely
what
was impressionable on most of us in our age because of
the death.
Because that's what we remember. Like, he had so many
films. I also loved World's Greatest
Jack. Jack was a great one.
That's one of the
Jack.
Hey, Bill
Cosby.
That speech, the speech at the end of Jack, like, that's another one that's been, like, being repeated over and over again and showing a lot of his greatest, like, you know, greatest moments from all his movies.
But I love the scene where he's running through the halls in World's Greatest Dad to Under Pressure.
Where they're pretty much saying, you know, saying, like,
watch?
Go out and live.
Oh, really?
Live your life. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm happy with what I did with my life. Make sure you're happy with what you do with your life.
Yeah.
And it definitely resonates, you know, it resonates vastly. It's like, hey.
I mean, he had a really good career.
His body of work was great, yeah.
I guess in the last 5 years, his movies haven't been critically loved.
Yeah.
Was that one with Mandy Moore and Jim from The Office, like, wedding?
It was he was the priest or something like
that.
And there was RV as well.
RV
as well.
The wedding one was all right. I mean, it just he slipped. Like, his prime was the 90s. Like,
that's what everyone will remember for.
But 1 Hour Photo was in 2000, so it was Insomnia. That's when it's dramatic.
1 Hour Photo was good.
1 Hour Photo was good.
Insomnia
is
really good.
Yeah.
I don't remember
and
it too
once
well.
Again,
I
if you
like
watch
Insomnia
again. His range.
Nolan.
It shows off his range.
It's
Add it to your long list of movies.
No, it's so long.
That's what she said.
You know what was cool about,
was
like,
he,
in, he lived in San Francisco forever.
Yeah, he was
San
Francisco guy. Yeah.
So it was really cool because most people are obviously LA. But when you visit it, when you drive past his house, all of his, so he has an open yard that you can see in, and it's all green lawn.
Yeah.
All the bushes are, they always change them into dinosaurs or
Jumanji
different
characters.
Figures or Jumanji characters. And over time, he's always done different themes, but I think the last one was all dinosaurs whenever I was there.
My older brother actually lived in San Francisco, and he actually lived in the same block as Robin Williams. He said he'd always see him walking up and down his block.
He was walking, he'd bicycle.
He walked
to
bicycle.
Big biker, and
But yeah, it's
so
it's definitely sad.
That was probably my first, besides, okay, I was sad about Corey Monty, because I watched Glee, but...
You're the only one.
Okay.
You should watch his sci-fi movie he did.
Which one? I've seen most.
It's his made-for-TV sci-fi movie.
The one with, like, the wolf? The werewolf thingy?
No.
I feel like some of
he's on a boat.
His band, like, What Dreams Would Come was good. I enjoyed that movie for the visual...
What
the visuals in
it. Cuba Gooding Jr. playing
the comedy. And to end the podcast, we all know, or maybe some of you don't know, that Robin Williams always wanted to play the Riddler in a Batman series, and he wanted to play the Riddler when they were doing it with Michael Keaton, but they never did it. But he didn't want to play the Riddler.
I think I remember that being considered.
I think Robin Williams wanted to do it, the one Jim Carrey did, but they didn't go with him. I can't remember why, but he always wanted to play the Riddler.
Were they considering Eddie Murphy at one point? One time?
Yeah, for some villain.
Or something?
That would not have been good.
So.
Robin Williams.
That's Two-Face.
So, we miss you, Robin Williams.
Thank you for all that you've brought to us and made us who we are in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we miss you. But that is our 40th podcast. We will be back next week with our 41st podcast with hopefully everybody in attendance. Gwen, we miss you. We know you're in Florida. We know you're having a good time. Yeah.
She's really old now. She's in Florida. She's
retiring out here. Yeah.
That's such a good... Yes!
Yeah.
The over 60 demographic podcaster has moved to Florida.
We're the
multimedia men. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. Multimedia men.
And on your mother's wall.
Nanu nanu.
Nanu nanu.